us as long as you want.
Yeah. I hate to steal, but I think I'm going to take Bob with me to introduce me anywhere I go. Thank you, Bob, very much. Thank you, Peggy. Amen. What a joy to be with you tonight. I don't know if any of you have ever walked into a sauna. Have you? Do any of you like heat? And... But when I walked in here tonight, I could just feel, just like when you go in a sauna and the atmosphere, you can feel a change in the atmosphere when you walk in. When I walked through the door tonight, I could just feel that atmosphere change. And I so appreciate the presence of the Lord, the warmth of His presence, and just beautiful being here with you tonight. I got to know Kim a little bit on the telephone, along with his wife, Irene, and just had an anticipation of coming up and meeting you all and spending some time together. I don't do this often. In fact, I have never quite done it before, but I actually have three different messages tonight, so I'm glad I have till 11:30. And doesn't happen to me like that often. Usually I know what I'm going to share on, and that's what I share on. The Lord almost, it's almost like I'll get empty, and then He'll fill me with something, and I know that's what I'm going to share on. But I actually have three different messages tonight that I'm floating between. So we'll just see what the Lord has and what He does. Amen. I grew up on Bible school campuses. I was 4 years old when my dad went to Bible school. Then he went to another Bible school, and then he taught at a Bible school, and then he started a Bible school. So that's kind of my background. I grew up in a community of Christian people. In a normal community, you have those who are saved and those who are unsaved. But where I grew up, you had saved people. But within all those who were saved, you had those who were hungry for the Lord and those who weren't. Those maybe who were in school because their parents wanted them to be in Bible school, or maybe they were there hoping to find a spouse. Maybe they were there, but they were just distracted with other things. But within the Christian community that I was within, there were also those who had just a burning desire. They had this time that they had set aside in their lives to meet with the Lord, and with everything within them, that's what they wanted to do. When I grew up, I understood the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. I never got away with anything. I knew what it was like to get in trouble. You know, I grew up with these two older brothers who just did everything right all the time. And then here was their little sister with bright red hair and freckles running around, getting in trouble all the time. But in my walk with the Lord, I can remember when I was 5 years old, just being at that time, my dad was attending Bible school, and they had this outdoor chapel with sawdust on the floor where we would have summer camp meetings. And I can remember down in that sawdust crying out to God. I had a heart for God. I had a desire for the Lord. But strong within me was that understanding of right and wrong. And basically, I didn't want to get in trouble. That was my relationship with the Lord. I understood heaven. I understood hell. I didn't want to go to hell. So So I tried to regulate my behavior accordingly so that I was doing the right thing. And it was later in my life that the Lord brought me in contact with a lady who was in her 80s. And she was so in love with Jesus. She just loved Jesus. And when she would talk about Jesus, her face would just glow. And she would say to us, "Say the name of Jesus." And I would try to say, "Jesus," the way she said, "Jesus." But I could never quite say it the way that she did. But I came to an understanding of a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, not so much just right, wrong, good, bad. What can I do and still go to heaven? But now, how much more can I know you, Lord? How much closer can I get to you, Lord? Now, not a fear of punishment regulating my life, but now a love that was just consuming everything in me that was contrary to an intimacy of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that was being displaced and pushed out of my life because of a hunger that was growing in me as my eyes were opened up to see this love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of my sharing has to do with that intimacy of relationship that is available to us. I heard the story of a man once who was looking for a chauffeur to drive his car. And he had several applicants, and he took the first applicant and took him on a windy road, you know, up a hill. And the chauffeur, trying to show how good he was driving fast and going around those curves. And the owner of the car went to the next applicant, and he was trying to show how close he could drive to the edge of the road and not have an accident. And the owner went to the third applicant. And this third applicant, he very carefully went up the road, staying far away from the edges, and very carefully went around the corners. And the owner of the car said, "This is the one I want for my chauffeur." And I believe that when we learn to live, not how close on the edge can we live, but more how close can we be to the Lord, it changes the whole focus of our lives and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to look at the Song of Solomon for just a few minutes tonight. There's a little overview that I like to do. Sometimes the Song of Solomon has become precious to me. But it starts off with that heart hunger for the Lord. First, the Song of Songs, which is the Solomon's. We have to be awakened to that love song, that love relationship that is available to us. But then that spiritual hunger that comes when our eyes begin to understand all that is ours in Christ Jesus. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, "Draw me." That spiritual hunger. "We will run after thee, body, soul, and spirit." Everything that is within me will not go very far in our relationship with the Lord without commitment. "The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." The heart that seeks after God shall find him. Those chambers, it speaks of being brought into his presence. And as I become awakened to his love, as I begin to hunger for more of the Lord, as the Lord brings me into his presence and I begin to spend time in communion and fellowship with him, my hunger continues to grow. My spiritual capacity begins to be enlarged. It says in verse 7, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou causest thy flock to rest at noon." I love the verses that follow. There's come a spiritual hunger and awakening to the Lord. And then in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 8, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, skipping upon the mountains, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Looking at the progression of what is happening in the bride here, an awakening to his love, a spiritual hunger, a commitment, an experience of the presence of the Lord, increased hunger, a desire to know the Lord, to hear his voice. And I love the way that you all open up your spirits for the Holy Spirit to speak to you here. I think that's beautiful. And here the bride is starting to hear the voice of the Lord, starting to know the voice of the Lord. And then all of a sudden in chapter 3, it doesn't say that she's done anything wrong. It doesn't say that there's any sin in her life. It simply says she's been in this time of blessing. And all of a sudden she's in a spot where, what happened? Where is my beloved? Where did he go? What is he saying? What is he doing? A night season. And we will always have both in our walk and our relationship with the Lord. Times of blessing, times of testing. Mm-hmm. Times where we're hearing from the Lord and it's just wonderful. And then all of a sudden, hello, God? You remember my name? You remember my address? Those silent seasons that we have with God. But it says here in chapter 3, and I believe that it's the key, that though she could not find him, though she was not hearing the way she had been hearing, not seeing the way she had been seeing, that she continued to seek after the one whom her soul loveth. Mm. And I believe that's the key, whether we're in a night season or a time of blessing, that we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to seek after him. And there were those who would have comforted her, but she was not going to be comforted with anything until she found the Lord himself in that personal way that she had come to know him. And if we can skip way over to the end of chapter 5, I'm just kind of skipping through the book. But we find from that poise of spirit, starting with verse 10, where she comes into a place where she's able to give an intimate description of the Lord himself. See, not just what people are saying about him, but from an intimate personal knowledge of her own experience with the Lord, she is able to give, starting with verse 10 in chapter 5, a detailed description of the bridegroom. And then she says in the latter part of verse 16, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. Oh, I love that. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. In chapter 7, verse 10, there's been an inward working through. You know, some of the deepest things that God has done in my life have actually happened during the hardest times.
Amen.
Not just when buckets of blessings were pouring on my head, but during those times where I had to really seek after the Lord. I had to really spend time waiting in His presence and seeking the heart of God. And in those times of not only blessing, but testing, there has come not only an intimacy of knowing the bridegroom in a very, very personal way, but there has come an inward working of the Lord, a trust, a dealing within of that self nature, you know, my way, as I've yielded to His times and His seasons and His ways. Where she's able to say in chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. That submission of a life. I am my beloved's. I was visiting within a prison once with my husband. My husband used to do prison ministry. And I play a little auto harp. Being a nice little church girl, I was singing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And then the way we always do it in church is we start to sing, He's my Lord, He's my Lord. You're my Lord. You are risen from the dead. And so I sang, He's my Lord, and the inmates are singing with me. And then I started to sing, You're my Lord. You're my Lord. And all of a sudden the room got quiet. And I realized I was singing a solo. There was enough anointing in that place where they knew they couldn't sing it unless it became a reality within their hearts. But that submission of a life to the Lord Jesus Christ, more than just words, has to do with something that God works deep inside of us through the good times, but also the hard times of this life. I am my beloved's, and His desire, the approbation, the favor of God. The word tells us that there's no greater love that a man can offer a friend than that laying down of his life. And as I'm willing to lay down my life for His life, see, the Lord doesn't love me because I'm perfect, because I do everything just right. Finally arrived. But as I'm submitting my life to Him, there's no greater love that I can offer Him than that laying down of my life. As I'm laying down my life, as I'm submitting to Him, as I'm allowing Him to work inside of me, says I'm my beloved's, but His desire, the approbation, the favor of God. He agapes, He loves the whole world. It's not His will that anybody should perish. But yet Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me. It's speaking about another aspect of God's love. That love in the heart of God that responds to those, not who are perfect, but those who love Him. I am my beloved's. His desire, His approbation, His favor, His love is toward me. Then the call of God, verse 11, come my beloved. Let us, I love that, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish and the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Isn't this what Jesus prayed for in John 17? That we would become one with him, even as he and the Father were one. Isn't this where the Lord desires the body to come into that place of joining, of unity, where the head can become connected with the body as there comes that full display of his glory, of his power, and of his presence in the earth today? There will I give thee my loves. There is my provision. There is all that you have need of. I will provide for your every need as you come into that place of submission to me. And as you are joined with me in my way of thinking, in my heart, in my burden, in who I am, as there comes that joining with me, and as your life is joined with me, with the Lord, in giving expression in the earth today. It says in chapter 8, verse 8, we have a little sister. What will we do for our sister in the day she be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build on her a palace of silver. If she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. We have a little sister. See, come, let us go into the fields. Then the burden of the Lord, as I see those who are just awakening to his love song, where that hunger is just starting to stir. And there comes a burden in my heart for others. There comes a caring in my heart for others. And the right word at the right time. If she be a wall speaks of some stability. We will build on her a palace of silver. Silver speaks of righteousness. There's principles of spiritual growth as we become established in grace and in the understanding of our salvation and the love of God. There's truths that enable us to mature in our walk and our relationship with the Lord. If she be a door, we will enclose her. A door, it's swinging this way and then it's swinging that way, back, forth, up, down. We're going to enclose her until she can become established, until she can become strong. The right word at the right time. Why? Because I've come to know my heavenly bridegroom. I've been spending time in his presence. I've submitted my life to him. There's come an inward working of his spirit in my life. And I'm starting to know his heart. I'm starting to know his thoughts. I'm starting to be able to respond as he would respond. Spirit of prophecy. There's the gift. There's the office. But there's that which comes simply through spending time with the Lord and coming to know his person, who he is. Years ago, somebody asked me why my dad said something. Well, I never heard him say that. I didn't even know if he said it. But they were asking me why he said that. I said, well, knowing my dad, if he did say it, this is why he said it. So that's what I told them. Later, I went back to my dad and said, did you say this? He said, yes. I said, well, is this why you said it? Yes. How did I know that? Just from spending time with him. Just from knowing the way he thought. Mm-hmm. From knowing his heart. See, the Lord is calling us into that same relationship with him today, where we just know his heart. We know his way of thinking. Wasn't that the testimony of Abraham in Genesis 18? When he was there sitting in the door of his tent in a theophany, the Lord came And Abraham, recognizing the Lord, said, "Come, you've come to me so that I can refresh you. Sit down here while I go and prepare a meal for you." And in that atmosphere, the Lord said, "Shouldn't I share with Abraham that which I'm about to do?" And he shared with Abraham a visitation that was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. The evil cry that he had heard from that city, and that he was coming to see if it was even so as he had heard. And Abraham, a friend of God, knowing the heart of God, knowing the holiness of God, that if God visited Sodom and Gomorrah, the holiness of God would demand judgment. But also knowing the heart of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, that it was not God's will that any should perish, began to intercede according to the heart of God, that the righteous would not perish with the unrighteous. And the scripture tells us that the Lord remembered Abraham, and that the angels literally brought Lot out. When he would have lingered, they took him by the hand and brought him out, because judgment could not fall until he came out. See, the heart of God, knowing the heart of God, knowing the holiness of God, but knowing the heart of God. This was Paul's cry, that I might know him. A desire to be brought up out of just a religious form. I mean, he'd had a powerful conversion experience, had powerful experience in the heavenlies, but there was still that cry to know the Lord. And that's where the Lord is bringing us today as a body. For those who have an ear to hear, the call that has been given to me relates to the preparation of a people for the end time purpose of the Lord. And you know, it's not that hard. It's pretty simple. If we're willing to get back to basics, to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and growing in that relationship of knowing the heart and the thoughts of God and becoming an expression of Him as we allow Him to work inside of us, that He might speak through us and move through us the right word at the right time, at the right place, and use us even as He used Abraham, one who knew God and was able to make intercession according to the heart of God and according to the desire of God at that time. We have a little sister. What shall we do for our sister? Song of Solomon, the same chapter, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Who is this anyhow? And I love what it says in chapter 2, and I have this in the Amplified. "I am only a humble lily of the valley that grows in deep and difficult places." Have you ever felt like that? I'm just this ordinary person. Don't have any special gifts. Don't have any special talents. Just working through these difficult spots at times in this life. Verse 4, "But he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Believe this is the desire of God today, to bring a people who are willing through that full process of growth into that place of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, but finds nothing in me except that I love the Father and always do those things that please him. A people where they have been so dealt with that there's no inner drives, there's no inner motives, there's nothing moving them other than the will of their Heavenly Father. As they learn to allow His Holy Spirit to lead them and to guide them, to show Christ, I like to say sometimes with words if you have to, but through lives. You know, the scripture talks about the Lord coming to be seen and glorified in His saints. There's something within our lives that's to be seen, that is to glorify the Lord. But I believe that's the desire of the Lord, to bring a people into that place of full submission to Him, that they might give expression to who He is, finding themselves at the right place, at the right time, with the right word on their lips. It's an overcoming people that the Lord is calling forth in this hour. There are difficulties in this life. Won't deny it. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have the overcomer living inside of us. And there's an overcoming people who the Lord is drawing together, who the Lord is bringing together, who the Lord is raising up, that they might participate with Him in an active, cooperative relationship in the days and the hours that are before us. As we're transitioning in time, I believe from the church age into the kingdom age, to a time where we're going to be seeing a greater manifestation of God's power and God's presence. There's a people being made ready whom God is working in, a people who know their God. They know their God. They've come to that place where nothing moves them other than the Spirit of God within. There's no lesser motive or desire than to glorify the Lord and to always do those things that please Him, who the Lord is raising up, who will be used to display His glory in the time that is before us. Didn't really share any of them. Shared a little piece of each one. But I just want to pray tonight for that releasing of enabling grace, enabling power. It's what I've been experiencing in my own life. It's what I pray for and I believe for. Living during a difficult day, a difficult time, but as I'm able to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, as I'm able to focus on that which the Lord is doing, on what He's doing, on His desire, as I'm able to allow Him to continue to work inside of me, I find the testimony of that touches others as He also raises them up into that same intimacy of walk in relationship. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. Can we say that tonight? I am my beloved's. Everything within me, Lord, I'm yours. I am my beloved's. And Lord, I acknowledge that your desire is toward me. I acknowledge that you love me. Can we say that? I acknowledge that you love me. The approbation, the favor of God over a people who have set their love on him. Lord, I just want to thank you for that equipping and that enabling of a people. Lord, who you're raising up in this hour, a people who know you, who you can use in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for that grace. I thank you for that strength. I thank you for that power. I thank you, Lord. And Father, we just open up our hearts now. I'm asking for that impartation, Lord, a present day anointing. A present day anointing, Lord. That which you're releasing today, that which you're pouring out today, we just open up our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, your grace, your presencing, your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.